Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'd like everyone to take a good look around because we want to be sure and take good care of our new hall, because if we don't, this is where we're going to land. At least it's dark enough that the songs show up really well on the wall. Well, as Warren was saying in the opening prayer, this is a fantastic time of year because of the meaning that it has for us all. The reason we have hope at all is because of what these holy days portray, that God the Father was willing to sacrifice Jesus Christ so that we can have hope, the hope that we have of eternal life. Well, on the regular Sabbath, we don't take up an offering, but we do on the annual days. And that's different than what we ordinarily do. I'd like to go through the scriptures to explain why we do that. We usually start out in Deuteronomy 16. So let's go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy 16. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, starting out in verse 1, it starts out talking about the Passover and the season that we're going through right now. And then dropping down to verse 9, it goes through the Feast of Weeks, which is what we call Pentecost, because it's 7 weeks. When 7 weeks are fulfilled, it's Pentecost. And then dropping down to verse 13, it starts talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, the feast that we're planning for now with our reservation forms and so forth that are due by this Sabbath, by the way. But dropping down to verse 15, let's start reading there. This is the last of the portion about the Feast of Tabernacles. It says, 7 days shall you keep a solemn feast unto the Lord your God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of your hands. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. And then in the next section, it talks about what is to be done during those 3 seasons. In verse 16, it says, 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before the Lord your God in the place that he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that's the feast we're celebrating today, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty, or empty-handed, as some other translations say. And here's the first principle about the offerings. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which has been given to you. So we're to give as we're able. You know, we're not asking for what people don't have. Let's turn over to Malachi 3, and starting in verse 8. God commanded the Israelites to do a lot of things. He gave the Israelites his righteous ways, but they didn't. They rarely obeyed God. They didn't keep to that way so that they could be blessed. And in Malachi 3 and verse 8, God says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. So they had not been tithing or giving offerings. And he goes on to say, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So God says, prove me with this. You know, put me to the test. Now, Paul also had something to say about the attitude of giving. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7. It says, "But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And that's another principle to consider in the offerings, is that we should give what, you know, we purpose in our heart. It's a personal decision. God doesn't need our money. You know, he says he's able to raise up stones to do the work of God. But it's much better for us to have a part. So God doesn't need our money. The church could use the money for the work that it's doing. But that's not really what the offering is all about. Because the offering is for us. It's an opportunity for us to give of our substance to God. It's an opportunity for us to have an opportunity to, you know, to give, to express our attitude and what's in our heart for God. So at this time, we will take up the offering. There was a mistake made in the sending of the Holy Day offering and envelopes, and hopefully everyone was able to put their 10-digit PIN number on their envelope. It starts with a U, and that number was inadvertently left off the envelope, but if you do have that number, please put it on. And anyone who needs an envelope, please raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. During the taking up of the offering, there will be offertory music. It's going to be a song from a CD. It's called "Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God," and it's combined with "Canon in D" by Fischelbel. So that will be played during the taking up of the offering, and afterwards we'll have another hymn.